Welcome to the Building Church. At the Building Church, we are committed to raising up people of balanced stature for Jesus in all phases of life. Join God's servant, Pastor Jeremiah James, as he brings the word with clarity, grace, and truth.
Glory to God. I said glory to God. All right, so we have been considering a very powerful series. Tag assurance of salvation, right? I say assurance of salvation, right? Okay. So last week we did introduction. We saw a number of scriptures. I don't want to go back to that. If you missed last week's service, I think it's easier for you to just visit the YouTube channel or thebuildingchurch.org /sermons and get the best out of the sermon. Hallelujah. So last week we considered knowing the God that saved, right? We saw a number of scriptures and we saw the power of God in saving people. So tonight, my discussion will be in the direction of the element of salvation. Yeah. Guiding trust in God's saving power. The element of salvation. Guiding trust in God's saving power. Glory to God. Praise God. All right, so I think it's safe to okay. It's safe to highlight a few benefits of why you should have assurance in the saving power of God. That is, the benefit you have when your assurance is intact. Like we saw in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, the Hebrew children said, "Don't bother yourself, king. Our God that we serve is able to save us." So that means that there is a knowing. They have not seen that God saved somebody from the poor. Like I said last week, they were the first. They were the first that would be thrown into furnace of fire. And then they did not. So they have an assurance. There was this assurance they have that the challenge may be new, but the God is not new. this is a new challenge. But they were too sure that our God that we serve is able to save us. So they say, if you throw us into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O Lord, O King. So it means before they even threw them inside the fire, there was an assurance. So there are benefits you have when you have an assurance of the saving power of God. One of such benefits is that you are going to have peace of mind in the face of the trials. That the challenge is dancing in front of you and there is still peace of mind. You know that your God will save you. Are we on the same page? Let me show us Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 very quickly. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Please, can you read this together with me? He said, "Therefore, since we have been..." Do you know what that says? He says, "Since we have been justified." That is in the past tense. That is, since we have been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What it implies is that because Jesus has finished the work, there is assurance. You are too sure there is peace even inside the fire. That they say you are in debt and you are not moved. The lecturer is saying, "I'm going to fail all of you," and you are still in peace. That was what happened to Jesus when he was sleeping. As the storm was boisterous, Storm here and there. The storm was doing brr, 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 and Jesus was sleeping in the kitchen. In the kitchen. Then the disciples that did not know the peace of God and the assurance that the Son of God cannot die in an accident, they were panicking. They were like Nigerians. Ori Yamio. You know what I'm saying? Ori Yamio. Ori Onku Mio. You know what I'm saying? They have called all the things they know how to call. But yes, there was a Jesus that was sleeping. Then when they went to wake him, they said, don't you care? He said, oh, your little faith. Is this storm? Kai, there is a God that said. Your challenge is that you panic too much. Jesus was not teaching. He said, okay, by worrying now, can you add to your life? That's what he said in Matthew 6. He said, now, okay, now that you have worried, can you add to your life? Then now that you are worried about, can you add to your life? There is one powerful topic I'm actually considering for next month series. It's going to bless us. I'm going to speak along the line of worry. So don't allow me to jump ahead myself. Glory to God. He said, can you add to your life? Can you add any small thing to your life? Can you add, I give me a length. So you can't tell your neighbor, say, have peace of mind. The one that saved you is able to save you from every other thing. The same thing happened to Paul in Acts of Apostles 27. The Bible said the ship was shipwrecked. You know, there was already a ship. Do you know that when the pilot, just imagine, the pilot is afraid. He's not afraid though. The pilot that gave them the instruction was already afraid. Every other person started fasting. But this Paul knew he was too confident. He said, the angel of the Lord whose I am and whom I serve. How you don't know your God? He said, the angel of the Lord whose I am and whom I serve. Verse 23 of Acts 27. He said, stood by me last night and said unto me. He said, you shall stand trial before Caesar. And God has given you the life of everyone that stay with you. While they were fasting, he was eating. Only Allah in the room. You know what I'm saying? They say, everybody is trying. Look at him now. He said, you must stand trial before that. And God has graciously given you the life of all who stay with you. While others were doing, look at verse 26, I think 26. It was one that was not advising them. He said, oh, you must keep a ground. Next verse. Next verse. He said, on the 14th night, we were drinking and all of that. Yes, next verse. I'm looking for where he said the people should eat. They took standing and then these guys were still fasting. Paul now said, see, you guys need energy. Okay, maybe you would not understand. The pilot, hope you know that Paul did not study, he said, now I hold you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single ear from his head. Wait. In retrospect, this thing is making sense. Now let me explain to you. How many of you have flown in an airplane before? If you are flying an airplane, if for any reason there is turbulence, hope you know, if you dare tell people not to call Ori Yami, they can slap you. You don't understand. The storm has not finished. They were still inside the shipwreck. You understand? Akwa ship to lock, step back. Akwa can get lost again. The pilot has lost hope. The pilot is the consultant. He has studied all the wind. He knows this kind of wind that they will not survive. Then you now came. In fact, even the pilot is not eating. Nobody was eating. This body now sat down and was eating. If I was one, we'll train inside the sea. He's not urging us to eat. These guys have gone several days without eating. But there was a peace. One of the assurance you have is that there may be a storm, but your Savior is not sleeping. And someone used to say it beautifully well. He said, you are not sleeping. God is not sleeping. Why did you wala? You don't get it. The one that watches over you does not sleep. He does not slumber. So when there is assurance for your salvation, you will not worry yourself. Because when you worry, you will say something. Let me tell you. That's why I said, I have something. When you worry, you will say something. When you meditate, you also say something. That's why in that Matthew 6, he said, how many of you by worry? He said, you worry by saying. So if you worry, you will say. And your saying will be coming on the strength of your worry. Yes, in Matthew 6. I think it's 29 or there about 25. He said, before I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you eat or whatever. He said, no. He said, you what he's saying. You what he's saying. So there is what he's saying. When you worry, you will say. And it will show that it's coming from worry. Around the same page. So the first thing that is one of the benefits of your assurance of salvation is what? Peace of mind. Somebody say, I have peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
The fire may be increased 7 times.
Wow.
But there is peace of mind. The one who saves me does not sleep. So that's why he confidently says, don't worry yourself, O king. Our God that we serve is able to save us. And he will rescue us. They even went ahead. And said, and he will rescue us. And last week I said that you made it to the fire. Me, you can survive the fire. The strongest army could not make it to the fire. He said, why they were trying to throw them? The flames of the fire killed them. What about the ones that are not inside the fire? You are the one undermining your ability. That you can even make it to the fire means that you can survive it. So there was storm everywhere and Jesus was sleeping. There was shipwreck. The Bible said the east wind was tearing the ship apart. Hope you know that when they were done, there was no ship again. When the shipwreck was done, there was no ship. That is to tell you how terrible that wreck was. No ship. Nothing was left. Nothing. So it's in the midst of it that somebody is eating. A lie, you are eating. It's because once there's an assurance, if you are worried, you will say nonsense. Let the one that does not sleep nor slumber take care of what he wants to take care of. I have an assurance. The one who saves me does not sleep nor slumber. Number two, which is this one, you need it. Number two is called joy in the spirit. One of the benefits of having assurance of salvation is that you will have joy. You are not just going to have peace, you also have joy. Isaiah chapter 12. And that is why, let me show you something. We need this thing I'm telling you. Don't follow me carefully. Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3. Give it to me very quickly. Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3. Please, can you read this together with me? With joy you will. Wait! He did not say from the well. He said from the wells. Listen to me. Joy is a drawer. You need your joy intact. God speak peace, yes we know. But you need your joy impact. Once your joy is gone, you will be saying nonsense. And you need that joy to draw from the well of salvation. The devil always gone for your joy. And that is why he is showing you the boisterous wind. Once your joy is gone. You see, once your peace leaves, the next thing that will follow, Toma Padani, is joy. Let me show you something. How you know they are working together. Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 verse 22. Please, can you read this together with me? Is what? He knows the how. Is what? These guys, they go hand in hand. If your peace leave, your joy will follow. So the Bible says, with joy, you draw from the wells of salvation. Is that how you could show your joy? Listen to me, friends. That sickness is not strong enough. With joy, you will draw out healing. Do you know what? In Philippians 4 verse 4, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. He said, again, I say. Is that how you rejoice here? Where are you rejoicing? Wait. How do you rejoice when the things are good? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Because you don't understand. The devil is doing nonsense and you are laughing. I remember. Okay, let me show you this one. Job chapter 5, verse 22. You will see. Job 5, 22. What did he say you will do? And famine. Because he will sit in heaven and laugh. You know, Kenneth Aiken had three sicknesses that if one did not kill him, the other is waiting for him to die. He had incurable blood disease. He has hole in his heart. You understand? If hole in his heart did not kill him, the incurable blood disease should do it. And then after he was healed, then the devil brought the thought to him. Because I'm going to leverage on thoughts. You know, we say element of salvation. Your thought is in your head. Hope you know when you say, I serve the Lord with my mind. Some of you used to touch it. It's your heart. That one is pumping blood. Your mind is here. Oh, you don't get it. This is where your mind is. And I say, I pledge my mind, you are not touching like this. Is that organ that is pumping blood you are touching? Your heart, your real heart is not here. This one is an organ. Your heart is here. Your mind is here. And it's part of the things God has you to protect. Do you know what the Bible says? In Proverbs 23, verse 7. He said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Then Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible now basically said, he said, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it proceeds the issue of life. You see, you are ready that way. You are thinking to issue. I love MSG. MSG said life begins there. Life. MSG, please. Give me MSG. MSG. Please, can we read this together? He said, keep vigilant watch over your... That is where your life starts from your heart. So he said, when the devil came to him and said, you hope you know you'll not be saved, you'll not be healed this time. He said, he did not pray, he was just laughing. Ah. He said, when I say, you did not hear what I said. He said, I heard what you said. He said, and you are laughing. He said, why are you laughing? I said, I'm laughing at you. Because he said, I can't be saved this time. He said, I don't need to. I was saved already. And that's how the thing check out, including the devil. So when the devil comes to you, he will massive rigor. He will do like the roaring lion. He will exaggerate the problem. And then all of a sudden, you that you just finished singing, you are not doing like this. So bam, vigilant up and down. So bam, vigilant up and down. The Bible says that the dry you need, hope you know. The woman told Jesus. Jesus said, if you have known the gift of God, you will have asked me, I will have given you olive oil and water. He said, you don't even have a drawer. That means that there is a way there can be a well and you don't have drawer. Yes, sir. Joy is that drawer. Salvation is a donkey. Yes. You don't get it. You are, God is not going to save you. He has saved you. Yes, when it comes to redemption, there are two levels of redemption. You can write that one down. The first level of redemption is called the legal position of redemption. The legal position of redemption means the finished work of Christ. Then there is the experiential dimension to redemption. The legal redemption is the finished work. The experiential is your coming to it. Hope you know that God is not going to save the world. God has saved the world. The world does need to partner with it. Hope you know that no matter how many billions we are on earth, Jesus will not die again. Is death go by even the unborn children? That is the legal dimension to redemption. Now, joy is one of the experiential ways you draw from what has been finished. Let me explain to you. Joy is like ATM. You don't go in front of ATM machine and be speaking tongue. Just bring the joy out. Insert. The money will respond to the password you put. Your password of withdrawal for salvation is joy. Please let me sit here. So, salvation is the finished work. Joy is what you use to withdraw. There is the legal dimension to redemption. The finished work of Christ. Jesus said it's finished. No matter how your sin is, if your sin is,
He's a red banner. You don't understand. He's a donkey. You just need joy. You want to withdraw.
My joy is intact.
How do you rejoice? Always. You can't find me moody. Joy in you. Joy in you because you need it to withdraw. You need it to withdraw. I mean, if you have ever gotten to ATM and you forgot your ATM card, say, that's how some of you do with joy. You get to where God will save you and your joy has gone. The devil always gone for your joy. And one of the ways I know that the devil is doing work is when you are sad perpetually. You are saying you are changing mood. I don't know what happened to your mood. Some of you, the devil have used that thing to call me love again. Any small thing I say, I'm on my mood. Ha, peleo. My mood. I'm on my mood. Today we saw you laugh, but tomorrow you are doing like 5 o'clock. You are not predictable. All your destiny helpers, you are sending them away with your mood. Joy is contagious. And you need it to draw. Because peace and joy, they work hand in hand. One of the ways I know something is not correct in the realm of the spirit is that my peace begins to go. And if your peace return, your joy will also come. You need both to draw from the way of salvation.
Number two. Are we getting blessed or blessed?
Number two is boldness in prayer. It's one of the assurance you have of salvation. It's one of the benefits that you have that you, when you have the assurance. You sure are confident that God will answer you. Not an inverted kind of thing.
1 John chapter 5 verse 14. He said, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. My question to you is, hope you know. I said something. That the only prayer that God hears of a sinner is a prayer of redemption. God does not turn the deaf ear to the prayer of redemption. Any other prayer, he may not hear. But when it comes to the prayer of redemption, if letting be a chronic sinner, God will hear him. Do you know what that implies? If God is willing to hear the prayer of a sinner to be saved, how much more of you that are saved than need saving? You do not get it. Anytime it comes to saving, anytime it comes to come and save me, you show up. Because God does not keep his ear blocked when it has to do with saving his people. Including a sinner. If a sinner prayed the prayer of redemption, of salvation, God will save him. So, one of the confidence you have that when there is challenge, you show up is that, car, he will hear you. He will come and save you. He will come and save you.
Lift up your hands to him. You will arise again. He will come and save you.
Hope you know that was the confidence that Job had in Job 19:25. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives. In Daniel chapter 3 verse 17, the Hebrew children also said, we say, we know our God that we serve. Ha! And then in Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, please be seated. The Bible says that what? It said those who do know their God. I know my God. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And at the end, he shall stand upon the earth. That was the confidence with which he was showing up. If you know that God is willing to save you, when you go confidently to go and pray, you'll go with confidence, with boldness, knowing that he will hear you. I've not seen a sinner that come out and say, you need to be saved. And then thunder just like thunder from heaven. Say, to back on me. No. You know, God did it with some extra. No matter how the population of the world is, Jesus has taken care of it. He has saved all, every person, saved. Everyone, saved. So when you show up in prayer, you know that he will answer you. It's one of the benefits of your assurance of salvation. That Moses, I don't need to call him. Let me show you one scripture. Psalm 91 verse 14. Please, can you read this together with me? Because he was, Now look at this. He said he will what? And I will do what? I will be with. Wait. I would have loved to say God in trouble. Hope you know when God shows up in trouble, the trouble is the one that is in trouble. You don't get it. It's just like saying that cultists, you know, even cultists have level. Then some cultists are trying to go and deal with the boss of us. When they show up and they see that, they not give the denial and say, I mean, can see who you are. Kilo is the worst. He says, maybe we'll send a picker, that's what your trouble see when you see God in trouble. Just imagine with people why that your God is in trouble. The Bible says he will come. He will be with you in trouble. You don't get it. That is one of the confidence we used to show up. That is when there is trouble. Oluwani ekpe mi, emi lojugo. Ekpe mi, emi trouble gaganimi. Emi trouble. In Jeremiah, do you know what the Bible called God? He said God come like a mighty terrible one. Do you get what it means? That means that terrible. Terrible gonna wash up. Terrible pro max. In Exodus, he said, I will send my terror ahead. Do you know what it means? That is, God began to send his terror ahead. Oh God, your trouble is in trouble. If only you go with a confidence that you can call your God, I will show up. But the devil, one of the intentions of the devil again, is to make sure that he partner with your thought to think that it's God that is against you. One of the first benefits is that of assurance that there is peace of mind. When others are just say, just tell me I'm boga me. Tell my name boga, shall we? And then I like it with barbecue fish. Sandwich with Irish potato. You have chi you got. They say, Abi, you don't hear what we are saying. We think his sheep is capsizing. Say, I know now. Think this sheep is going to capsize. The one that is inside the sheep can. I don't know what they are still doing in this place. I asked for Jeremiah and Exodus. These people are not preaching with me. Please stretch forth your hand to pray for them. He said, but the Lord is with me. I is the Lord with you. You don't understand. Your trouble has entered the game. Your trouble went to come and meet promised trouble. If trouble know himself, he won't come close to you. The one that is with you is called a mighty terrible one. Say, he said, I will send my terror ahead of you. That person is not born again. That is the truth. He said, when I call for salvation, just come first. He said, the Lord is with me. I is the Lord with me, please. I love something in Isaiah. Isaiah said, I can't remember that. Who's the WhatsApp? Communication. I think it's Isaiah 50 verse 9, if I'm not incorrect. The Bible says, when the enemy come in like a raging flood tide, he said, the Spirit of the Lord shall arise to stand up against it, and it shall be driven back by the breath of the Lord. Your trouble is in problem. He said, when the enemies are caught like a raging flood tide, The Spirit of the Lord shall rise his standard against it. Do you know what a raging flood time means? That is, thank you, 59 verse 19. Thank you. I don't know 9 is there. He says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord, can you see, from the west, and his glory from the rising of the... He said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall arise his standard against it. Do you know what it means? Do you know what a flood is? When a flood visits any nation, if it visits a locality, everybody is hurrying. Then as the flood is coming, flood did not know that there's another standard coming. He said, when the enemy shall come in, we flood long. Owari flood, babanla flood. Same wind, don't be windy me. You don't get it. That is, it's not small wind is not blowing. Then hurricane now show up. Hope you know when hurricane show up, every other wind follow him. All those nonsense that you call wind, all those things that are just coming, I've done that, they enter into hurricane. Hurricane is a magnet. So when your trouble shows up, a mightier trouble now shows up, your trouble will not kill behind. I say, that didn't require your Emma Wasibi. Emma Binisua. Ah, I'm not saying it. That was a mighty terrible one showing up. You are saying this. That is one of the confidence. When your problem comes, you don't understand. You know that you have a higher problem shooter. That will deal with your problem. God is with me like a mighty terrible one. Said. I want to show you another scripture. Those scriptures, I confess some of them a lot. It gives me confidence. You understand why I'm saying this now. Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11. Psalm 16. You see, I've not even consulted my notes. Psalm 16, because what did he say? He said, I have what? Where is the Lord set? Because he's at my right hand, what will happen? A problem came late. But if you don't have assurance of salvation, you will not go into prayer with confidence. Your peace of mind is gone. Any small shaking like this, they are threatening you. You are doing like feather. God, you don't know your God. Mighty to save. Savior, he can move the mountain. My God is
to save.
Yes.
He is mighty to save.
Okay.
Forever. Altar of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave.
Jesus did what?
Jesus conquered the grave.
God is with me like a mighty terrible one. The next thing that the benefit gives to you, please be seated. Just sit for the purpose of your singing, for anything you sing, is endurance in trials. That's one of the benefits of your assurance. Endurance in trials. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Endurance in trials. Please can you read this together with me? No temptation except what is, and God is not let you. You don't understand? Temptation, prayer, Olu alone regulate it. The person regulating is on your side. I will show you. Job. Job chapter 1. From verse 8, very quickly. Job chapter 1. So you know that God is, that is, you can endure trials because you know the one regulating is on your side. It's an home advantage. He lay not to what bear. He said, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? You see now, it's God, Satan, say, come. Have you seen something? Hope you know that what Job was going through, please be said, was God boasting on Job. You now, God is boasting never about you. You have not said, Uri, I am you. They all want us to go hold Baba Kemina. Kilo Shele. You have said it. You have sang it in song. There is nothing I won't give you, Lord. Say the word and I will obey. Then the anointed Baba said, "Bunkado." So he said, "Go." Then the devil was also parading up another day. He said, "Hey, that reminds me. Have you considered my son, Femi?" As they are saying, "Have you considered my son?" He said, "Baba, don't allow them to consider me. Leave me alone. I should not be considered." Endurance in trials is one of the confidence you have. It's one of the benefits of your assurance that God is on your side. It's one of the proof that you know that God will save you. Because this thing, man, God is the one regulating it. Look at it now. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one heart like him." Look at God making boast. That is how God boasts about some of you. And you say, "Oluwa, we need that for you." Then Oluwa said, "Ah, kini Mose." He said, "Why you not? I thought you were all knowing. Oh, the people say suffer on earth." God now said, "Now I mean they boast about you now. You sang it. Even when the choir was singing, you were lying down." And I said, "Okay, no problem. This guy said, say the word and I will obey. I have told him now not to marry her." He's now advising God. I said, "God, you don't know her. You don't know Cynthia. You don't know Cynthia, God. No, God, you don't know Cynthia. Kai, I'm disappointed in you, God. I thought you were all knowing. You don't know Cynthia. Cynthia. Ah, Cynthia don't, that can give somebody his eyes. Ah, no, you don't know Cynthia, God. You wonder my father, Cynthia, nani. Oh, Cynthia. You don't know Cynthia, Lord. Because God was saying here is that Satan, this guy is just flourishing. Go and help me consider him. And I used to say immediately that if I was Job, if I was there that day, I'd say, "Father, don't allow them consider." I say, "I'm okay like this." "No, I know you. No, there's no need of putting you. That's not try the Lord your God now. You know, don't." But Job was not aware that all that was happening to him was God boasting about him. Some of the things you are passing through, how many of you have seen? I remember when we were younger, there was a man, his son, his eldest son, if I remember the story correctly, his eldest son does not have body like myself. And he was older than one guy that has muscle, who has muscle in this place, that could gym very well. He was older than that guy. It was the whole community that was in the fight. The father was now pushing the son. His own son that is lenge-lenge. That, "You are older than him. Lord, no? Go and beat him. Go and beat him." And this guy is here, empty. As he give the mask, he give by her. You know that you can really, you know, when they blow somebody out, you are not feeling the effect. You know that? The guy is bleeding and the father is saying, "Go, and Nicola, no? Oh, he's like, where? Oh, he's like, where? I can see it. That is, maybe several years ago, over 20 something years ago, and I can still remember the kind of sin they created in that town. So, it's not that kind of thing, no. God will not go and match you with bigger that is more than you. You are the one that did not know how God rates you. Then I say, "Oh, no, it's overrating. Talent is there, but me, you want to call you. You are crying and you are weeping and say, God, he said, oh man, oh man, you don't know what you are made of." Because in that Corinthians, God will never allow any person be tempted beyond what you can stand against. That thing you are the one that don't know what you are capable of. You are like Gideon. Then I say, "Oh, that mighty man of valor," he said, talent, sorrow. Who? Is it me? I didn't know the truth to it. When they later saw the revelation of how he fought, the Bible said, he said, when he got into the camp, God said, "Okay, to convince you, go into the camp now. You will hear what the soldiers are saying." Do you know what the soldiers are saying? One just woke up and said, "I had a dream. And I saw a bread falling from the mountain. And it sweeped the whole locust. The army, that army was like a locust." He said a bread sweeped the whole locust. The other one now became an interpreter immediately. And told him, I said, "Ah, if it is bread, see, then there is nothing that you have seen than the sword of Gideon. And yet, Gideon will see himself as bread. Bread. He said, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. That mighty man, who is this person? This is not where I'm looking for, Jared. When God asked him to go to this thing, bread, just search for bread, you'll see it. He said, he entered into the camp. He now said, a bread was rolling down the mountain. Then the guy said, it was armies that was saying to. They said, what could this mean? How can a bread perish the whole army? He said, if it's the bread, then that should be the sword of Gideon. Let me locate that scripture. This person is not preaching with me. Just search for bread in Judges. Bread coming from mountain. Please, can we read together? He said, and his fellow answered him and said, this is nothing. No. Go back to where he said bread now. Maybe verse 12 or something. Go back a bit. He said, look at the people you want to go and fight. Even if I'm the one, I would say, Baba, please leave me alone. I'm not. They can't catch them. Next verse. He said, and when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamt a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto the tent and smote it, and it fell and overturned it, that the tent bread, you know something? Where the Bible was coming, the Bible said they can't be counted. They were like locusts. But look at it. As he was saying this dream with that one, the other one, the Spirit of God came upon him to interpret. Look at the interpretation he gave. He said, look at the interpretation, next verse now. He said, and his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand had the Lord delivered Midian and all his host. The host was like locusts. He was hiding, and God saw him as a mighty man of valor. And then look at what now happened. When he had it, look at what he did immediately. He said, and it was so, when Gideon had the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered unto our hand the host of Midian. Now, if you don't understand the story, 30-something people gather. God now said they were too much. That they should reduce them. When they reduce them, they were remaining 10,000. God now said, 10,000 is too much. They wanted to go and fight Lucas. Even the 30, whatever thousand, they are not enough. God now said that is too much. I reduced it. After God now finished reducing everything, do you know how many were left? 300. 300 men to go and kill Lucas. People that are like Lucas. The guy said, Baba, you deceive me. Mighty man of valor, mighty man of valor, you overestimated me. And God now said, okay, in case you don't understand, okay, I want you to go to the camp. Go and listen to what they are saying. I don't know they are running. Hope you know that. This sword that they use, they did not fight a sword. So I do not think that they fight a sword. They did not fight a sword. Do you know what they call lantern and pitcher? Do you know pitcher? Something like flower vase. Because that's what they used to fetch water then. That's what they used to fight. Lantern and pitchers. So he said, if you hear the shout, just smash the pitcher on the floor. Kai, you don't know your God. A barley loaf of bread was what took care of a whole army. God is with me like a mighty terrible one. As we saw in Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 11, the terrible one is the one that is in my camp. So, endurance in trials. Now, go to the next verse very quickly. Let me show us this. No, leave this guy alone. He said, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Now look at what the Satan is doing. He said, have you not put a hedge around him? You don't get it. That means that anything that is happening in your life, the devil is under permit. Hope you know that naturally, actually. No, except in a functional environment, no police can come and carry in your house. In fact, they can't come and search your house without a search warrant. In a functional environment, don't forget, in a functional environment. Before you now say that, where is your search warrant? They now stop you. Just allow them to search. And be going. In a functional environment, what I'm saying. Because even in a functional environment, hope you know, if your flight is delayed, they're supposed to give you food. It's also in the law of Nigerians, this meal. Is there? Oh, sorry, I mentioned Nigeria. Sorry. So, is there? It's part of the law. That is, if for any reason it's not late into the night, they will not lodge you. But the devil dare not go on an unauthorized search. Oh. You know, it's like, he cannot just move me around and say, hey, I want to go and search for me. I'm going to be there. It's regulated. So he said, have you not put an edge around his hand? He said, you have blessed the work of his hand and all of that. Look at what God now did. God now said, ah, is that what he said? God now said, but straight out. He now said to God, say, but straight out everything and he cursed it to your face. Look at the next verse. The Lord now said to Satan, very well. Then everything he has in your hand is in your hands. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger. You don't understand. There are boundaries to which the devil is doing. But he will not set fear into your heart to think that he can touch the next thing. No, he can't. Because you know, by the time you start losing things, you are not afraid that, hey, this thing has gone now. What next can the devil take? When God, he's doing it under regulation. He can't touch what he has not to touch. How did I know that? Because after he said, do not lay a finger on him. Then Satan went out of the whatever. After Job bowed down and worshiped back, do you know now what the devil did? Go to the next, chapter 2, verse 1, very quickly, chapter 2, verse 1. This person is not preaching me. He said, on another day, the angels came together, them began for God. No. Show me the last verse first for you to see. The devil said that Job will go to curse God, have you? But look at what Job said. No. Chapter 1, very quickly, this person is preaching me. He said, in all of this, Job did not sin. No, go to 20, very quickly. He said, at this, Job got up, after they have brought all the trouble to him, Job got up, took his clothes and shaved his head, then he fell down to the ground in worship. Because, for anything, don't forget, I say you must maintain your peace, you must maintain your joy. He went and worship. Because he know that his Redeemer lives. And at the end, so all that was before him, he was too sure that he just drew up in prayer again. But look at what now happened in 2, because of time. Chapter 2, verse 1. He said, then Satan also came in with them again. Next verse. Then, and the Lord said to Satan, hey, where have you come from? He said, now say, Lord, next verse, because of time. Very quickly. He said, and the Lord said to him, have you considered my servant Job? You know what I'm saying? Job had lost everything at that level. Then God now said, have you reconsidered my servant Job? That's the word. Have you reconsidered my servant Job? He said, there is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shun evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him with any reason. Sometimes you don't even need to sin. They asked Jesus, say, who sinned, this man or his parent that was born blind? Jesus said, neither him nor his parent. He said, but this is happening to you to reveal the glory of God. There are some things that are happening to you we may not understand. Hope you know, as preachers, we may even preach some things that the reason why some things are happening in your life is because you did not do A, B, and C. And the heavens are laughing. That no, that's not what is happening to this one. This one is for the glory of God. His friends came and meet him and said, you, whatever, he said, I have not done anything wrong. I have not done anything wrong. Do you know that? Those his friends, later on, God have to say they should come and sacrifice to him and bring gifts to him. Let me help you. Hope you know that the latter part of Job that was blessed than the first one, it was his friends that brought sheep. Sheep and gold. So the guy bought more sheep. You don't understand? God can work, start with nothing. I'm just talking about entrepreneur, for example. There is something God can always use. How did I know that they brought sheep? Because he, hope you know, he was a farmer. He was an husbandry man. Right? I think husbandry is those that keep animals. If you remember your Greek very well. Abi? Everybody's in English. But he was an husbandry man. It was his friends that brought animals to him. Some of his family brought gold. It was that thing he used to reinvest. How did I know that? Because if they did not bring those animals to him for him to start his business again, then he would not need to sleep with his wife for her to give birth again. The children will have dropped from the sky too. The fact that he had to sleep with his wife again also for her to give birth means that how he started his business was how he returned back to. But the exceptional thing was that the blessing of the Lord was on it. It did not start from zero. You can't have God on your camp and start from zero. Yeah, no, you can't. Look at what he accepted from his friends. Huh? He accepted from him and then he prayed for them. That was how he started his business again. But the blessing of the Lord make sure that he had twice than he had before. And he also gave back to children. It's the children that is my concern. Because he must have finished giving back. And then he now sees his children's children. That is strange. And yet he died at 120. He's not giving concern. All his children died. That means he now had to give back to children again. Now, this time around, he gave back to 7 children. When I gave back to them again, he now saw his children within the space of 120 years. God truly can compress time. That thing you are going through, you are the one overcalculating. When God shows on board, you will not even remember that you lost time. Because he lived, you see, 140 years. Thank you, Jerry. 140 years. And he saw his children's children to the fourth generation. Do you know what it means? He was already old. The last one too was old. Then the last one, let's even imagine that the last one is not too old. He was 10. And then, hope you know, he must have married maybe at the age of 30. Let's even say 30. He married him. 30. If you remove, if you had 30 to the one he gave back to the last type, it will be 40. Then he now went and gave birth again to other children. That is, all of them died. By the time he died, his trial, I can't remember how long his trial last. But after his trial, what now happened to Job was that Job started from scratch and slept with his wife again. She gave birth to the first child, gave birth to the second child. Now, the Bible is not saying that when he was 140 years, that's when he died. But he now saw his children's children to the fourth generation. Hope you know a generation represents 100 years. Oh, no. That's what a generation is. That's how they count centurion. Can you count centurion? The 21st century, can you count centurion? That's why we're in the 21st century, century now, rather. It's 100 years. A generation take 100 years. How can somebody be 140 and sort to the fourth generation? If you know your redeemer, leave it. You will know you are not wasting time. Just like my wife said, the hand of God came up. You know, everybody has a system of advantage. That your friends thought you are behind and you are still supporting them. You are showing up for them. They say, you that you are praying for us, we are seeing results. And when will God help you? They do not know that their own system is chariot. Truly, Elijah knew that the hand of God will come upon him. If not, you're to be here. Just imagine with me for a while. That you are standing here, maybe you don't have a car yet. And then you are telling us that it's going to rain heavily. You now say, Pastor, sir, enter your car now and start going in. And there is space for you to enter. Especially the fact that we are going the same direction. He will say, I'm the prophet. Is there space in your chariot? He said, there is. Let me enter now. Because what I'm hearing is sound of abundance. He said, go up now, start running. Enter your chariot, start running. But he knew his own system of advantage. He knew that he will have to ruin the guy. You don't know your God. Imagine you say, imagine terrible one. You are not behind though. No, you are only behind if you believe so. When your God comes to a vision for somebody that is 140 years. So endurance in trials is that you are so confident. My time has gone. Carry me back. He said after the... No, not here, I'm not here. Job 2, carry me back, we pass. He said, blameless and end of that. Now, look at this, he still maintains his integrity, even though he signed without reason. Next verse. He says, skin for skin. The devil now said, this is the last card. Skin for skin, Satan replied, a man will give all he has for his own life. Next verse. He said, but sweat at your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and it will surely cause you to your face. Next verse. The Lord said to Satan, very well. That is, the devil did not go ahead and go and touch his skin. He still went back to go and collect permission. Before he could touch his whatever, hope you know it was God that removed the hedge. For him to be able to touch the things that Job had. And it was God boasting on Job. Then the next one again, and I said, no, skin for skin. Oluwa, that is, you don't get it. Everything you think the devil is doing is not by his power. He is regulated. He is permitted. He can't go beyond what he's doing now. And you know the irony. How can the one that take, for instance, I'll give an instance of a lion that they were injecting her. We were the parents. We were staying there. It's because at the end of each trial, it make you more patient and mature. Complete, lacking nothing. If you run away from trials, it's like you are opening yourself to diseases. Because the trial is like vaccination. They were injecting our daughter for 1 week. They say we should put hot water, cold water, and be putting ice block, and whatever. For 1 week, if you touch her, yes, you will be feeling it here. Touch her, yes, you will be shouting, nah. I was like, hey, sorry, just for a while. And then, you don't understand. Our daughter is jumping up and down, moving up and down, first immune by God, and then vaccinated by humans too. What God is doing to you is that he's vaccinating you. Are we getting blessed or blessed? So the devil has to go back again and collect permission. He said, very well then, he is in your hands. But you must face life. That means that he was also regulated. Everything, see, let me tell you, as a child of God, there is nothing that comes your way that God is not aware about. And what it implies that he's also regulated. Come on, be devil in that. He should go beyond what God has regulated. Please read 1 Corinthians 10:13 again together with me. So you and you are that. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Please can we read this together? No temptation has seized you except what is. And God is. God is. He will not let you be beyond what you can. That means everything you are going through now, God is sure you can bear it. You are the one like that Gideon that said, Oluwa, it is trust me, you are familiar. Bread of barley. To a locust of army. God. That you are the one underlooking what you are capable of. I'm telling you. God has not even taught you Odinke. God has not taught you Odinke. No student can go to the next class if he doesn't write his name. No matter how brilliant. All of you did common entrance. You did jam. You did whatever. So that they can know if you are qualified for where you say you are going. I'm the best student in my school. It's not the same thing as writing exam. I'm the finest of God's battle axe. Do you know what battle axe is? No, I'm not battle axe again. I'm not battle axe. You have made too many noise of what you are. And God said, okay, I believe you. Devil, have you come to my servant, whatever, you are crying. Your peace has left you. Your joy, gone. Endurance and confidence in prayer, zero. Endurance in trials, gone. Almost a goner. I don't intend to take it the trap for Arsenal people. That is three bullets. And then number three. Number next, what is the next thing? It can't be number four. Number five. Number five is one of the benefits of assurance of salvation is hope of eternal life. There is hope. Hope. There is hope. You will know that your Redeemer lives. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 17 and 18. Very quickly. Hebrews 16, 17 and 18. Please can we read this together? Because God wants to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what he has, what was promised rather, he confirmed it with an, now look at what, he said, God did this so that by what? Which? There is hope! The car! Eternal life here is not like life forever. It means that you have hope. that is with two things that God is promising you salvation. Say, number one, God say, I swear by myself. He say, Baba, that shall not swear. He say, I will go me. I say, I swear. God, you don't understand. When God like, I swear. Do you know what? Have you, how many of you have seen people you believe so much in that you know they are men of their words? And but because they want to convince you the more, they now swear. That is a human being. The promise of what God promised you that is going to save you, is this soil. He said, alone, God. He said, in alone. He said, yeah, remember. In sword, then the Bible says, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature, because God wants to make the unchanging nature, who is this person now? I'm reading 17 here, joy by me. Keep that lady. Devil get that out of him. He said, because God wants to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. He said, Olongo. They said, Olongo. He said, Koda, Matum Bobata. Alolongo said. Did I say, Olongo? He said, oh. They will talk to me. Olongo. God does not need to do Olongo, but he still did it. So that you can have your hope. Because look at what he said. He said, God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. He said, we who are fled to take hold of the hope he offered to us may be greatly encouraged. There is hope of salvation. It is a strong assurance. This is not, and you know, there, this is just an introduction to what I want to teach. Praise God. But have we been blessed or blessed? Yes. Alright, so now let's go to the element of salvation. Guiding trust in God's saving power. God's saving power. Very quickly give me Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17. We read it last week already. And then Luke chapter 11 verse 21 and 22. Very quickly, very quickly, very quickly. CEV. Ephesians 6 17. CEV. Please can we read this? CEV. The element of salvation. Please can we read this together? Be like what? And for a sword, use God's message that comes from his spirit. Now, this is the armor of salvation, the armor of a believer. If you check it in verse 11, it said put on the whole, I think verse 10 rather. Verse 10. Is it 10 or 11? Give me 6:11. 6:11. 6:11. It said put on the whole armor that God gives. So that you can defend yourself against the devil's what? Tricks. Against the devil's tricks. Now, when Nasi says you should be putting the armor, in Nasi, one of the armor you should use is called the helmet of salvation. And that one covers the head. In your head is where you have your mind. In your head is where you also have your heart. Your heart is not here. Your mind is here. Your heart is here. Everything is here. Your thought pattern is here. Everything. Now here in the. Tell your neighbor, now indeed. Now, this verse, he said, let God's saving power be like a helmet. What it implies is that a consciousness that you carry that God will save you is the helmet. That's what it means. It's not as if helmet is salvation. He said, let it's like you use now, Abby. So he said, let God's saving power be like a helmet. What it implies is similar to. Helmet is not God's saving power. But when you are too conscious, you have an assurance that God will save you, is an helmet for you. It protects your thoughts. It protects your heart. If the devil let your helmet down, your ability, your assurance in knowing that God saved is also gone. Helmet protect the head. Is in your head you have the mind. Is in your head you have your thought patterns. So what the devil will always try to attack, and that's why when the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, what the Bible is saying is that that element of salvation is needed, because in that Second Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 and 5, he said what? He said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against The weapon of our warfare, rather. He said, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull it down of stronghold. If you see the things you are fighting, they are not physical things. Look at what he said you fight. He said, the weapons we fight with, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now look at how you fight. Verse 5, very quickly. He said, we demolish argument. Where does argument happen? Here. He said, and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. What is it again? Knowledge of God. That is where the devil fights. You need a helmet. He said, and we take captive. Where again? Every thought. So that means that the devil does not fight anyhow. He fights here. You don't have any sword of the spirit to fight with if your mind is gone. If your spirit is not there, because your spirit is in your mind too, is in your head. This is where your spirit is. He's here. So, the fight of the devil. Now, let me show you why I said that. You need that helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation is not helmet like helmet, wearing helmet. No. He said, let God's saving power be like a helmet. That is consciousness of God's saving power. You knowing that God will come and save you is a helmet. Once you let that down, the devil has won. Now, I will show you. Luke chapter 6, verse 11, and Luke 11, 21, 22, very quickly. Please, can we read this together? He said, when a strong man fully armed, guard his own house, his possessions are safe. That is you. When your helmet, your consciousness that God will save you is still intact, your possessions are safe. But look at what the Bible now says. He said, next verse. He said, but when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusts and divide up the spoil. So what the devil is doing is that he's not going to fight you directly. He just wants to convince you that God cannot save you. And once he's able to successfully do that, your armor in which you trust. He will come and save you, he will come and save you. And this is where it will start. And that's why I said that if God does not come and help you early, one of the things that the early help of God does for a believer is that he helps the believer to establish his faith and confidence in God. Because hope defer, the Bible says, make the heart sick. He said, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And that's why I say it's not good to have a catalog of unanswered prayer. Because you are not sure if God will answer you. Assurance of salvation. Me, I am sure that anytime I show up, you answer me. What the devil will fight, you don't understand, is that you trust God for maybe school fees. And then the admission, in fact, you trust him, you pray. Then they did not give you the admission. Because you did not have money to pay. Hope you know next time, you will learn to trust on those who you have been trusting on. Then the devil have done something to your mind. Because the Bible says the weapon we fight with is not the weapon of this world. Our weapons have to do with our helmet. If the devil takes that away from a believer, the believer will go. So the devil does not fight randomly. He fights your helmet. He goes for your helmet. Because once a man, hope you know, if a man sustain injury in any other thing, they can cut off the man's hand, he will still be alive. They can cut his leg, he will still be alive. You see, once a man's head is gone, the man is gone. So the devil does not fight your hand. How will you hold the sword if the head is not there? How will you hold the sword? Because it's the head that will coordinate how the sword will be held. I see one physiologist, so I know what I'm telling you. There's something called central nervous system. You know, it's also in the head. Everything that has to do with a man is in the head. If your saving power is your confidence in the saving power of God is gone, you don't have anything you are pushing. The fight is over. Protect your helmet. In a battle, a warrior without his armor is vulnerable. Once his armor is taken, his confidence collapses. So Jesus' parable in Luke 11 paints a picture. A strong man is armed, feels secure. But when someone stronger strips him of his armor, that is, his peace is gone and is left exposed. In the same way, when believers fail to keep on the helmet of salvation, their confidence in God's saving power is stripped and they lose the peace and assurance that should anchor them. And that is why, let me tell you the truth, guys. If there's any time in your life When your assurance in God's saving power is going down, you need urgent retreat. While you can still believe God, you need retreat. You need to talk to people that can help you. I want to show us a few things very quickly. When your armor is, okay, where should I start from? I have just a few minutes left. Moment of salvation. Holy Spirit. Okay. When your armor is taken, this will happen. What it does is that it collapses your trust. Once your armor is gone, what it does is that it collapses your trust. So this is how the enemy fights believers. Not only by physical attack, but by shaking trust and confidence in the saving power of God. So what it does is that it throws doubt, fear, and self-condemnation. Most of his topmost strategies that aim to take away your helmet of salvation. So this is what the devil does. He makes sure you question God's saving power so you become a warrior that is standing in a battle without his helmet. Oh, you know, Goliath's confidence was in the fact that David was going to throw a stone. He was wearing a helmet. Stone, a mean stone. And that's why I said it. I say it's not a stone that killed Goliath, it's a force. Because if it is stone, if it's the force of the stone, it's supposed to fall like this. The Bible says a force faces forward. If a force is coming like this, it's not like this if you throw the man. But it fell like this, forward. Yes, now that's how the Bible says. It says fell with his face forward. The force that killed him, knocked him down. Because he was weak. Oh, see, did you know? The Bible says, yeah, he'd be a fighting man from his youth. We people, okay, in space, warning, armor, stone, feba, wali. Somebody that's fully armor, his armor in his head. Even if you not show up, you say, enjoy, please, referee, etunka. etunka, new. I want to quickly give us some scriptural foundation for assurance. For the assurance of your salvation. So if for any reason your leg is standing on one leg, that is you are standing on one leg. So the assurance of salvation, this is what the assurance of salvation covers. When you start having thoughts like, will God really save me? Am I strong enough to endure this? What if I fail? One thing, take your armor and dear. You start to learn, if you have these three questions in your heart now, as you are seated here, you should listen to me twice. Number one, will God really save me? That is, you have started doubting God's saving ability. Then, am I strong enough to really endure this? I'm already learning here. Then, what if I fail? Then you need some of these things as structural basis for you. Number one, you need to embrace the word of God. Go back to the word. God's promises are unchanging. The Bible says in Psalm 33 verse 4 and Psalm 12 verse 6. I want us to see this together. Psalm 23 verse 4. You have to go back to the word again. Can we read this together? For the word of the Lord is, and he is faithful in all the. Then Psalm 12 verse 6, very quickly, he said what? And the words of the Lord are like silver refined in the furnace of clay, purified many times. That is, before God say anything, he will purify it seven times before he come out. Then Psalm 119 verse 89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Then Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12, he said, the Lord watch over his word to perform it. He's watching over it to perform it. He's watching over it to perform it. Then Isaiah chapter 55, 10. He says, so is my word that go out of my mouth. It should not come back to me void, but will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it and accomplish the reason why it is sent forth. He says, as the rain come down from heaven and do not return to you without watering the earth and making the bud and flourish. Do you know what it means? That is, if rain come, hope you know that you don't pray for green grass. Why is that raining? That is how the word of God does. He said, you see, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return it to it without watering the heart and making it bud and flourish. He says, so is my word. Hope you know that the word of God is more than rain. But in comparison, he said, when the rain is, hope you know that when the rain is falling, we don't pray that grasses should grow now. Do we should pray? No. The rain will make sure that grasses begin to germinate. Everything you plant begins to germinate. That is how the word of God is. God said, when I send my word to, so you need to reestablish your confidence in the word of God. That is the first step you need to take. Then you need to embrace the witness of the Holy Spirit. And then you need to revisit the finished work of Christ. John 19:30, Jesus said it is finished. Salvation was fully accomplished at the cross. And I said it earlier. I said there are two types of redemption. There's the legal redemption and there's the experiential redemption. The legal redemption is like you deposit money in a bank. But you need a system to withdraw it. That is the experiential redemption. The legal redemption is the finished work of Christ. The experiential redemption is your experience of, in the finished work of Christ. Christ is not going to die again because your problem is too much. He already died. That is legally done. I can't have maybe 13 point something trillion dollars in my account. And then there is one scratch in somebody's car. I'm not doing like this. I would ask him, I said, sorry, you said my daughter, what is you, what, you said she mistakenly wrote what in your car? Okay, sorry about that. And please, do you want us to repair it or you want us to buy a new one? That is what happens when you don't know the legal dimension of what God has done. God, Jesus, see, no matter how big your problem is, he will not die again. He already died and covered that problem. That is the legal dimension. So I cannot have money in the bank and they say there is something, something. I just need my ATM, which is my joy. I'm going to withdraw. Hope you know that. I mean, if you have ever been to more, if you have ever experienced this, there's going to be a change of level. Soon. Just say amen ahead. That you went to more, you pick plenty, until you go to the cashier. And then as they were doing the thing, you say, then you have transferred from your OPE. You have transferred from your CUDA. You have transferred from your money point. And see, the thing is long. The thing did not still cover the amount in your account. Then I say, okay, how much is this? He said, whatever you want. He said, did I pick that? I don't need it. It's a lie. You picked it. You needed it. Is that the legal dimension of your transaction is not complete. It is not God. Your problem cannot scare him. And let me help you. No matter how your problem look like, God will not have to go and strategize. And say, hey, you can strategize. But we have a problem, guy. It was already finished. There are two levels of redemption. There's the legal redemption. It is that John chapter 19 verse 20. Verse 30, it is finished. No matter what your challenge is, finished. The experiential dimension is you tapping into the finished work of Christ. Ha! It is the finished work of Christ you are enjoying, sir. That is the experiential dimension. So once your faith is dying, remember the finished work of Christ. There's a legal dimension. It's like the money you deposited in the account, in your bank. Then you begin to withdraw it. But hope you know you can have money in bank. If you don't know you have it, you won't withdraw anything. That's what some of you are doing. You don't know that anything, the problem came late. Let's pray for it. It is finished. What did he say? Jesus said what? What did he say? Car, the problem came late. Let's proceed. Okay, because of time, let me just jump to how the enemy fights our confidence. Number one, by planting doubt. God may not save you this time. Something like that. That is the first thing he does. Number two, by magnifying failures. He magnified the failure in your eyes. That is how one of the ways he fights your confidence. Number three, by mocking your weakness. That is, you say, this time you are not strong enough. Number next, Ignorance of what the word says. Ignorance of what the word says. Number next, which is number what? Over dependence on feelings instead of faith. I don't need to feel it. I'm not alone. Then, falling into Satan's accusation. If you have finished writing that, you should look up. I think I'll just end there. Where I wanted to go, time may not permit me to go there. What I wanted to talk about is how to keep your helmet on. But time, this time is flying. I want to show you something. Have you written that? What is the next one? What did I call it? Falling into Satan's accusation. Let me show you something. There are threefold work of the enemy. There are three rather. You need to know the threefold work of the enemy. John 10:10. John 10:10. That is the threefold work of the enemy. That is what the devil does. Number one, what does he do? The Bible says the thieves come only to what? And what? And what? He said, I have come that what? And have it out. Now, the threefold work of the devil is written here. In this scripture. The threefold work of the enemy, rather. The threefold work of the enemy is here. The first one is called steal. The second one is called kill. And the third one is called destroy. But all of it has name. When the devil is showing up at his stealing dimension, this is when the enemy comes at his stealing dimension. He comes as the devil. That is, when he's coming to steal, he does not come as Satan. He comes as the devil. Now, when he's coming to kill, he does not come as the devil. He comes as Satan. When he's not coming to destroy, he doesn't come as Satan. He comes as the God of this age. As devil is the deceiver. And I will explain. Give me Matthew chapter 13 verse 24 very quickly. Don't forget what I say. There are threefold work of the enemy. Number one, steal. Number two, kill. Number three, destroy, right? When he's coming as a stealer, what does he do? He comes as the devil. The work of the devil is to deceive. Now, give me Matthew. Please, can we read this together? Matthew 13, 24, very quickly. He said, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed what? What does the man sow in his seed? In his feet. Next verse, very quickly, 25. He said, but why everyone was? Who came? Wait. And I told you earlier, I said, the enemy has threefold work. The first one is to steal, right? He said, his enemy came and sowed weeds. But what happened? Why everyone was? Why everyone was? I study human physiology. I know what sleep is. Sleep is a state of partial or complete unconsciousness. The Bible is not showing us that the enemy does not show up when everybody is awake. That is, this enemy as the devil. He does not show up when everybody is awake. He shows up when everybody is asleep. That is, he's in a state of unconsciousness. Now look at it. There's a difference between an armed robber and a thief. I've often said it. An armed robber, they can steal at any time. In the day, in the night, in the bank, or in front, everywhere they can steal. Because what they are selling to you is not unconsciousness, it's fear. An armed robber does not allow you the person's at home, he come with gun. Your money or your life, you say, how much? How much? The money is there. Whatever. That means what the guy is selling is fear. But the thief here that the Bible is showing us is that he's leveraging on people sleeping. That is, the devil leverages on your ignorance. You will not be aware. He's subtle in the kind of temptation he brings. You are not conscious it's even a temptation. All of a sudden, you just feel like you should be in welfare department. And then from the welfare, you don't want to take care of brothers, only sisters, as a brother. The devil is subtle. He won't allow you to see what he's trying to achieve. You will just think it's a new kind of compassion you have for women that fear. So the Bible says, well, his enemy, he said, while everyone was sleeping, the enemy comes and sought out. Now, the most funniest part of this scripture is that people, is the one people used to ignore, is that, and sow wheat among the wheat and went his way. He did not supervise it. The thing is that, you see, that one someone you think you listen to that did not do anything to you. That nonsense you had online that you thought did not do anything to you. The devil has sold his star and I went away. That's what the Bible says. Guard your heart with all diligence. Once they have started saying, that what does they mean by the Bible is saying, you see, when the devil will need that you had, he knows. Because the Bible did not say he was watching over it. No. He just saw it and left. But at the time he saw it, the people were sleeping. They were not conscious. Social media, you know. All your mentors are online. Apostle Z, Apostle K, Apostle whatever. They have said all manner of nonsense that you thought did not do anything to your spirit. Until the day that word will rise up to do his work. You now start seeing nonsense. When I say, I thought you were a pastor. You say, leave pastor. Leave pastor. All the people that backslided, how did they get backslided if they have not had? That's why you should guard your heart with all diligence. You can't listen to everyone, guys. Do you know why I said that? Because in verse 39 of this Matthew 13, the Bible said the enemy, verse 39 of Matthew 13, Verse 39 of Matthew 13. Ha. He said, and the enemy who sows them is who? The devil. So the devil, or the Bible already shows how the devil operates. He operates when people are unconscious. Hope you know that when Jesus started fasting, the devil did not show up until he was hungry. The devil will not wait for you when you are not hungry. You are OTO. He will leave you. You see that time that you can't hold it again. You two are, you are tired. You say, hey, this is the time to go. Then shut up. When you are hungry for results, when you are hungry to see proof that you serve God, that is when the devil comes. And not start saying something, it not allow you to start doubting what you are conscious of. How can he go to Jesus and say, if you are the son of God? What is he doing there if he's not the son of God? Because the devil works. He said, if you are the son of God, if you can't serve God, if you are the son of God, why are you still at this level? Ha! Look at it now, you have been fasting since. Then he now says something like, turn this stone to bread to prove that you are the son of God. How does that change anything? They now say something like, you can sleep with a man to prove that you are immune. You are the son of God. He starts bringing doubt because the devil will not show up until you are hungry. He was led into the desert. He said, while he was hungry, when he became hungry, no, give him Matthew. He said, at the end of it, he was hungry. Then the devil showed up. I said, hey, who wants to be hungry now? Let's show up. He was hungry. So the devil waits for you until you are hungry. But he will make sure you are not conscious, that you are not aware of it. And that is why 1 Peter, let me just end it on this note. So that you are the level you are in. Let me show you something. I'm looking for where to end this. Because this is not where I'm supposed to end. Okay. Let me show you 1 Peter chapter 5. Because of time, just give me verse 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. He said, cast all your what? Anxiety on him because he does what? Yes. Next verse, very quickly. He said, be saved and your enemy, the devil. Wait again. Are you seeing that?
Yes.
There's always a link between the enemy, the devil. The enemy, the devil. Abi? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a run lion, seeking who to.
No.
Now look at what the man said next. He said, resist him. Stand firm in the. That means that what he's gunning at is your faith. As the devil. Because most times you just read the only that other part. But another thing he now said is, go back. Go back. He'll be self-controlled and alert. Another translation says, be sober and vigilant. Vigilant is the word. When you are dealing with the devil, you don't deal with him on vigilant. Because he's not coming, he's coming as a deceiver, as a liar. You don't get, that is the trick of the devil. When he's coming at the devil, when he's coming as Satan, that is when he accuses. When he's coming as the devil, he is a deceiver. But when he's coming at the God of this age, he's a blinder.
Oh.
He's a blinder. That is, there's a way that we are preaching here now, but your heart is blind. That's what 2 Corinthians 4:4 said. He said, the God of it have blinded the mind of unbelievers. And that's why the topic I want to do next month, you have always tempted me to say it now, is because that belong, most of these things belong to that title, that topic we want to do next month. Because God has already given us the word for next month. Say you again. He said, in whom the God of this has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now wait. There is specific belief. There is generic belief. There is a way you can be an unbelieving believer. That you believe that Jesus died for you and rose on the third day for you. But you can still be poor because you do not believe that he can make you rich.
Okay. Okay.
And yet you still make heaven like Lazarus. Have you been blessed or blessed?
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you've been blessed. This is The Building Church. Our core values are spiritual growth, service and impact, personal development, honor, excellence, love work, faith, family life, and societal transformation. And our pillars are the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and reaching out. Join us for our Sunday Glorious Service at 8 a.m. and our Midweek Service every Wednesday by 5:30 p.m. at The Building Church behind Becadim's Tanke Okyodo, Ilorin, Kwara State. Please follow us on all social media platforms at The Building Church. Stay blessed.